the Chairman Emeritus of Brinker International in Dallas, who owns this restaurant, Norman Brinker, is high commitment. He and his successor for the last 20 years, Ronald McDougall, have taken Brinker to almost $4 billion a year. Man, that's a lot of margaritas. Norman Brinker's wife, Nancy, made a commitment to her sister back in 1980. She promised her sister, Susan Komen, that she would try to do something about breast cancer, which eventually took Susan's life. She made her a promise when she was sick. And Nancy launched a national series of 3.1-mile runs. And the first year, I think it was 1983, 800 people ran in the race. The first Komen race for the cure. In 1999, 700,000 people ran. And the foundation has raised more than $136 million for breast cancer research because Nancy and her associates know how to commit. Commit. That's our theme for today. Let's look at another high commitment woman this morning. Open to the book of Ruth. Ruth. I feel like Charlie Renfro today. I got to slow down here. Oh man, we left off last time with Naomi telling her two daughters-in-law, go home, don't follow me. Ruth, the first chapter, 14th verse today. We left off last time with Naomi telling her two daughters-in-law to go home. Don't follow me. I'm a woman in trouble. The Lord's hand has gone out against me, she said. She knows. I'm tempted to do a little cul-de-sac, and I will. I'll do a cul-de-sac. Solomon says, I think it's in the 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes, when times are good, be happy. When times are bad, remember, God has made one as well as the other. She knows who's in charge. And she says, the Lord's hand has gone out against me. We'll pick up in verse 14 today. At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Well, Orpah is convinced. Orpah is convinced, I'm going home. I'm going to Moab. I love Naomi, but the risk is too high to follow her and her people and her God. The risk is too high. And the kiss means what? Goodbye forever. But Ruth clung to her, the writer. We think it's Samuel. But Ruth clung to her. Now watch Naomi use Orpah's decision to try to shake her off. Watch her here in verse 15. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. Go back with her. And now notice the way Naomi puts her people and her gods in the same package. Go back to your people and your gods and her gods. She didn't say your gods. She said go back to her people and her gods. Man, it's hard to separate the social and the spiritual. The people you stand with will help define whom you worship. Now, I'll do another little cul-de-sac here because, Charlie, you gave me a couple more minutes today and I appreciate it. My 18-year-old son, I've watched something. A 28-year-old man has come into his life and is spending time with him and is working out with him and is teaching him the Bible. And they work out every afternoon. And I've watched my son. I watched his encouragement spiritually. They go together, men. Whom you stand with defines whom you worship. You can't separate the two. Now, this is a critical point. This is decision time. This is commitment time for Ruth. It's a fork in the road. East to Moab, west to Judah. Ruth commits, verse 16, she commits. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Naomi has told Ruth about the God of Israel. The God of Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God men of the Bible. She's been telling her about him. The God who is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and full of love and truth. Yahweh. She's told her about Yahweh, the personal God. And Ruth has experienced Naomi's character and her integrity. What integrity! And Ruth puts the two together. The message of the true God must be true because she has seen it and she has experienced it. It must be true. It's the truth in love. Not sentimentality. Not hype. Not media. She has seen it. She has experienced it from this godly mother-in-law of hers, Naomi. Where you die, I will die, verse 17. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you from me. She takes it for granted they're going to die someday. We can all count on that, can we not? How many people here are not counting on dying? Anybody? But someday, men, they will rise together and be together forever in the other world. Do you know for sure where you will spend eternity? Incidentally, when you go out with a guy for lunch, and I'm assuming you do that, I'm assuming that you're learning how to be a shepherd and you take people to breakfast or lunch and you come here, I'm assuming that, and you really care about them, just ask them that question. If you died tomorrow, would you know you'd be with the Lord? And listen very carefully. You don't have to say a lot. You just have to listen. Do you know for sure you'd be with the Lord? Well, I hope so. If they say, I hope so, I think so. I try to be a good guy. Got the wrong idea. St. John tells us at the end of the New Testament, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." When does it end? When does it start? When does it start? When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, when He saves you, you have eternal life. And Naomi is convinced. Ruth talks her into it. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Men, historically, this passage has been cited for, thousands of years as the classic template of a resolute convert to God. And that's what we need today. We need converts, not believers. I'm a believer. No. We need converts to God. Resolute converts to God. We take the Lord for our God. The Lord, the God of the Bible. Not the God we want, the God who is. We take the Lord for our God. We take His people for our people, the good and the bad. I had to turn my son over to some folks from another denomination for a year. He went off the track, and I had to give him away to some men and women that don't really operate the same way I do. They have different distinctives. They have different emphases in their faith. And we hung together for a year. It was hard on both of us. But we take His people for our people. We go where He would have us go. Look where He sent me, with you guys. I didn't have a clue. I thought everybody sat in Atlanta, Georgia on rocking chairs and drank mint juleps. I end up in Atlanta with you guys. What a shock to my system. And men, we resolve to continue and persevere with no option for quitting. And not even death itself can separate us from the love of God. It's a classic template of what the Bible is asking us for. God makes the ultimate commitment, does He not? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It's unbelievable. If the gospel doesn't knock you out, there's something wrong. There's something. Pinch yourself. This morning, man, these women are showing us how to commit. Commit. Nancy Brinker writes, "My chief role now is to panic at the right time." I love that. She says, "Even if that means meeting with volunteers at 3 in the morning." Where do we need to commit this morning? On the Border restaurant is committed to us. How many of you are making it a point to have a meal here occasionally? Now, I'll embarrass you, Bob, Jeff, Bob Day. I see him in here all the time. I see Tom Wesley. I see Scott Kirk. How many of you are making it a point to reciprocate with their commitment to us? Jack, you're nodding your head. They tell me they could use a dinner customer, okay? Think about that. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip or anything, but we take things for granted, do we not? Make it a point. And write a little note to Andrew Denaro. I always do. Let him know we're here. I don't take him for granted. Great meal. Great service. Thank you. Chris White, Friday morning guy. Are you on the fence with the living God? Naomi and Ruth's God. Men, these women didn't even have the full revelation. They probably had just the book of Moses at that time. I'm trying to think now. A little bit more, maybe. They didn't even have the full revelation. We have the full revelation of Jesus Christ. The full revelation. They didn't even have that. Your God will be my God. I will go where you go. These women, men, and this organization, they're showing us how to commit. Do we know how to commit? Do you know what to do? If there's any man here this morning that's on the fence, do you know what to do? You just simply respond to what Jesus said. He said, "Come to me." Don't come to it. It's not, you don't have to go to it. It's not going to church. It's coming to Jesus Christ. "Come to me," he said, "all you who are weary and heavy laden." Are you weary and heavy laden? Are you loaded down with guilt and sin? Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Not more activity, not spinning like a top. You know, what did they say about Atlanta? The city, what? Too busy. What an indictment. Too busy to hate? Is that the new slogan? New York was too busy to rest. This is too busy to hate. What an indictment. Too busy. Not spinning like a top. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that's what I've experienced. How many of you have experienced that his yoke is easy and the burden is light? How many of you have experienced that? What a testimony. Let's have prayer together this morning. Lord Jesus, if there's any man here this morning that still is on the fence, I pray, give him the grace this morning to ask you to save him. Save me, Lord. Come into my life. Make me the man and the leader you want me to be. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.